episode of Sharkcast Radio, a weekly podcast on all things Cronulla Sharks, brought to you by Dyson Logistics. I am Sharks fanatic Newman, and I'm joined as I am every week by my fellow Sharks fanatic and good mate Sam Shinazzy. How you going, mate?
Tough week in the Sharkcast office, let me tell you, on and off the field. I'm struggling, but I'm looking forward to Friday night. Everyone get in touch with the Sharkcastpod at gmail.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on MySpace, we're on YouTube, we're on the internet, and we are in Struggle Street, but looking to bounce back, Newman. Let's get into it.
Now the official records will read that the Sharks were thumped 30 points to 12 at home, our worst loss in memory at the moment, and it puts us on the roller coaster going down to fourth position on the NRL ladder. Worth talking about that very quickly. We are on 30 points with Brisbane, Cronulla and Parramatta, and to drop down on the seventh place team in Manly is on 28. We've lost touch with the top. We can't win the minor premiership, and looking to stay in the top four now looks very difficult. Samuel, that was a disappointing game.
It was gut-wrenching. It was so frustrating. That 10-minute debacle of the sin bin was just hard to get over. I'm not over it. I had nightmares about it. They started the game really well. The opening 15 was sensational, doing everything right. They were leading, 8-0. And then it was penalty after penalty. It was discipline. You bet it was missed tackles as well. But to let them have that kind of field advantage and the possession was just bordering on amateur hour, in my opinion.
Oh, it was terrible. And the more confounding thing about it was, as you said, the first 15 minutes were sort of clinical and methodical, and it looked like we were going to do things quite comfortably, but then there was just the discipline. And we commented on it. The commentators cursed Samuel. We commented that their discipline had gotten a lot better. We're giving away less penalties. We were holding on to the football. And then they turned up that dross. It was just bizarre.
It really was. It was so disappointing. I tell you what, when we get Jaden Brayley back, let's have a party. Let's have streamers, balloons, birthday cake, whatever you want, because the middle of that ruck is really, really missing him. His, 45, 50 tackles a game. Canberra ran riot. They played the game we should have played in him.
100% correct. And mark it down, Samuel, mark it down. That period where, who got sent to the sin bin? Was it Papali?
Yep.
When Papali went to the sin bin, the 10 minutes of play while he was in the sin bin that gave us a sniff to come back into the game was the worst period of play by a Sharks team since, I can't remember.
Do you remember maybe 2 years ago, Dragons home derby, when I think Fecky was sin binned? And we laughed at the Dragons for wasting all that time in attack, being ahead by six. This was the reverse, and this was worse, and this was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. Bukuya takes the tap and drops the ball off the tack. We never touched the ball then until about 8 minutes in the period, and we'd conceded three penalty goals. It's crazy.
There was one touch, which I think resulted in a penalty. They had three shots of goal. Croker was dusting the ball for mud and dirt. It was amazing gamesmanship from them, and we let them do it. And all I was going to say about Bakuya was he wasn't on his own there. Everyone's focusing on that. Absolutely no excuses. But the whole lot of them, terrible.
Oh, hey, Graham, what is going on there? He was awful.
He conceded three penalties early on that led to the 14-0 demise, 14-point demise, I should say. And overall, a very ill-disciplined game. He's lucky not to escape. Well, he's lucky not to be missing a game this week.
Had that happened a couple of years ago when the system was different, he probably would have missed the game.
The one-on-one tackles was just nowhere near good enough. And it was the whole field. It wasn't one or two guys. There are a couple of guys you could probably say can put their head up, but as a whole, absolutely terrible stuff, and they have to and will bounce back because that was inexcusable,
well,
that performance.
I don't know. Let's be honest here. Let's be frank. After viewing that and after it being so close on the back of the Titans game, are you starting to doubt our credentials to go back-to-back? Because there's been a few pundits in the media which are just saying, The Sharks just don't have it this year.
I'm okay with that because what they're displaying isn't fantastic. The thing that worries me is winning back-to-back. We are okay not losing back-to-back, but we haven't strung too many together since May or June, and that's going to be a problem in the finals. I'm very concerned about the top four. If you don't finish top four, I'm putting a line through you. I don't care who you are. I don't care how big a fan you are. It's near impossible. Near impossible.
I agree with that. If we don't finish in the top four, and we can run the calculator, we can run the ladder calculator as much as we like with all the permeations, but if we drop to sixth, which is likely, and you look at our run now, wow, it's not easy.
No.
Brisbane away, Cowboys away, and then Roosters home. That's three very tough games. Now, the Knights should be a foregone conclusion, but...
But it's not.
When it gets, if we lose the next three games and then need to beat the Knights, then all of a sudden that's a game that may go either way. Now, I've run the ladder predictor.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it finishing probably as high as third and as low as sixth.
Yep.
So, very difficult days. But, I mean, we win against Brisbane this weekend. We're on the same number of points as Brisbane, but they're better. Then we're right back on track.
Yeah, look, I'm not putting a line through the year. I guess I'm saying it was inexcusable performance and definitely we need a big improvement. But you know what? Historically, of recent times, these are the games we love. It's Gal's 300th. We're going to enemy territory. They don't like us. We don't like them. Everyone's already saying Brisbane have won this game. Maloney's back. It's a strong team we've named. And I actually give us a pretty big chance.
Yeah. It's so hard to read, right? And, you know, all the pundits are putting lines through teams or saying teams are going to win. Like, you look at Manly.
Yep.
They got pumped 2 weeks in a row, and then they turn around and beat the Roosters. Now everyone's talking about their premiership credential. You know, North Queensland have looked plucky, then they get rolled by Melbourne. You know, it's just... It's very hard to read about... You know, and the Roosters, there's the Roosters again. They put in a stinker against Manly. So it's up and down. The only one constant seemed to be that Melbourne, very much of the team to beat. To be honest with you, Sam,
yep.
I'm starting to doubt our credentials, if I'm honest. Seeing too many things that are starting to come on top of each other for us to be a real heavyweight favourite, a real heavyweight player. There's just some of the efforts, the attention to detail, and the desire just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, I agree with that. I saw Chad on the Sturlo show this week on Fox, and he was pretty upbeat, but he was also very honest. Hearing them talk, the players and Luke Lewis and guys like that, and Gallen at his press conference, they're pretty honest about it all. Like, they're not looking for excuses, but they're also not conceding the year. They're saying if they can finish top four, then they're a real chance. But I hear what you're saying. There is a lot of bad habits in there. The bench, Newman. The bench is not... there's no drive in that bench.
No, Flannery's got the bench wrong for mine. I just think Lattimore, he's just very much a piston. He does a job. Clydesdale, I'm not buying it. I think Hino...
Well, you've hit the nail there.
He's been good for us previously, but I think his day might have come and gone. I think he's got the bench very much wrong, which is, you know, crazy because last year he got the bench so right all the time.
Mm.
I'm led to believe that Tagetesi will be back into the 17 this week.
Okay.
And I'm led to also believe, I think the Clydesdales, that experiment is over. So maybe those changes. But I want to talk about a moment in the game, Sam.
Yes.
Where Canberra are on the attack. They go to the line and then BJ Leilua goes short side to Jordan Rapana.
Yes.
And they score in the corner.
Yes.
The comment made was the lady at the grocery shop or the corner shop would have known they were going that way.
Yes.
Now, my spies at training tell me they trained for that play.
They do.
And also, the defensive coach, Steve Price, he runs the water. And if you watch the replay...
I've watched it.
Have a look at Steve Price's reaction. He's standing there and he's telling them, he's screaming at them, they're going to go this way, number up, number up. And both Ricky and Fecky, like, even though he's 1 meter away and screaming at them, took no notice of him.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on there?
Yeah, that was very poor from both of them. Fecky, an unhappy game. I thought they were both a little down in their runs as well, which was less important on this night. But I don't know. That again, you can't excuse any of that. And if the trainers, they're yelling at them, I don't know what the issue is. Heat at the moment, I don't know. It was very disappointing. It was a disappointing night, Newman.
A lot of very worrying signs. And these sorts of signs were on display. We're not just throwing the baby over the bathwater. They were on display in games that we were winning too. So hasn't been a really complete performance against good opposition since we dismantled the Roosters.
Well, I guess that's funny, Newman. We talk about the Roosters game. We go back to it. It wasn't that long ago, although some time has passed. But that was a clinical premiership-winning performance against quality opposition in an away territory. It's like, okay, maybe you can't do that every week. I don't know why, but you can't. But what they're dishing up at the moment is just too inconsistent to really have a real crack at what they want to do. I noticed Gallen did say he had a players-only meeting with the boys and he wanted to remind them that they've still got a chance of doing something really special, which is absolutely true, and that's the sort of talk I want to hear.
Whenever there's players-only meetings happening, that's a real alarm bells.
Well, no, I don't know about that, if that's necessarily alarm bell-worthy.
The team environment, that's what the coach gets paid for.
I would suggest to you it was a separate one from the Flano talk. Flano absolutely gave it to him.
I made the comment that he's had so many blow-ups that that's losing its effectiveness.
Yeah.
With so many poor starts, he's had to come in and tear him a new one. It's losing, you know, the blow-ups eventually lose their effectiveness. And whenever a team starts having players-only meetings to arrest the slide desire, that is alarm. It's always alarm bell.
They might have had one last year in the short slump.
They did. They had one after the Manly loss, if you remember.
Yeah. Interesting to note, Newman, we didn't concede a try in the second half.
Yeah. But in saying that, like, there was a big 10-minute period of the game where no football was played while Jared Croker dusted dirt off the ball.
I'm just trying to throw something out there, buddy.
All right, we can complain and piss and moan about it. It's in the bank. God, I hope they can put it behind them and put a good performance. I don't even think it's so much about the result this week now. It's more about if they can play well.
Yeah, of course.
We'll cut to a break, and when we come back on the other side, we'll look at the news and preview the game against the Broncos. This is Sharkcast Radio.
Hey Newman, I bought some Sharks memorabilia off a dude in Queensland. I need to get it here as soon as possible, but the seller doesn't do shipping. I need it in a hurry. What am I going to do, buddy?
Mate, get straight on the phone to Dyson Logistics.
What's the deal with those guys?
Dyson Logistics can move anything from a small package to a 40-foot container, road, rail, sea freight, air freight, local, regional, international, and they will do it cheaper and quicker than those big corporate freight companies, and with better service too, because they have that personal family business touch.
Give me their number right now.
Hit them up on 0467-233-153. That's 0467-233-153. Or log on to the website, DysonLogistics.com.
A little birdie tells me they're also very big, passionate, long-time Cronulla Sharks fans as well. What a bonus. DysonLogistics.com. They go above and beyond. That's the Dyson difference. Hey, Newman, I'm selling my house, but the gardens are a mess. Can you help me out, buddy?
I wish I had time, Sam, but why don't you give Craig from Endeavour Property Services a call? A qualified horticulturalist, Craig specialises in pre- and post-sale garden cleanups and makeovers as well as regular maintenance.
Sounds good, man. How do I get in touch with him?
Get in touch with Craig on 0424 294 321. That's 0424 294 321 or endeavourpropertyservices@yahoo.com. If you mention you listen to the Sharkcast, you get a 10% discount. Endeavour Property Services.
Five gone for the men from Cronulla. And it comes back for Kamali to go to Cavalli. He's put it down for try.
Got it down.
Straight up above to Neela Tuwaki. And Hampstead has asked the touch judge, what have you seen? And he wants to have a look at the put down. Well, he's gonna... high-flying Luke Cavell.
And Now it's come to the time of the show where we see what news has washed in across Botany Bay towards the mangrovey shores of Southern Cross Group Stadium. Samuel, the boys from NYC roll on. Unbelievable.
It's bordering on last year's NRL performance plus 1,000 points. Usual suspects are dominating. And is it this weekend the minor premiership's wrapped up if they win? I think it's this week. They're obviously entrenched in that top two no matter what happens. They'll get the minor premiership. And they're doing us really proud, man. It's they're very consistent. John Morris should be congratulated. And he's obviously got a pretty talented bunch with him. So onward and upward. Great to see. I'm sure they'll enjoy the big-time stadium on Friday night as well. So, yeah, it's going well.
And Newtown got beaten, and you can pretty much put a line through them for the season.
Yeah, I did that a while ago back, buddy, but I'll get a fresh pen and a fresh line. Disappointing. It's an unusual setup and unusual circumstances, but they're a professional team in a sense, and they should be doing better, and it's disappointing.
It is, and my spies tell me that Joseph Paulo was terrible.
Oh, really?
Had a very awful game. No effort in defence. So I don't know what's happening there. He's nowhere near first grade. So hard to say what's happening there. So the other big news this week was, if you saw the back page of the Daily Telegraph, Jack Bird's dad has given the club a shot. He's hosed off any speculation about Jack Bird doing a pirouette on the deal.
Yeah.
And says basically that he can't wait to get to Brisbane because the Sharks management have been giving it to him.
I don't know how much importance I'm going to put on Jack Bird's dad, to be honest. And when I say that, I'm going to suggest that they're not the words out of Jack Bird's mouth. And Jack Bird is important in my life this year, and his dad is not. So, and I'm not dissing his dad. This is not about his dad. But I'm mature enough and wise enough to not sit around and listen to agitated parents talk about their children in the limelight.
Jack still lives with his dad.
I'm not disputing anything that he said. I'm saying it's not from Jack Bird's mouth. And last I've looked, Bird hasn't said a bad word about the club in public. His performances have been down. He's been playing with injury. He's injured now. Hasn't been a great year for the young fella. It's disappointing press, I can tell you that.
I reckon he's starting to panic, Jack Bird. I reckon he's starting to think, man, I'm going up there on $1 million a year. They're going to expect big things from me. It's not happening for him on the field at the moment, whatever he's done. And a good mate of mine had an interesting theory. And he hypothesised that early in Jack's career, he was a very difficult customer because he was unorthodox. Yep. The way that he ran the ball, the way that he tackled, and he was getting results. But he said now other teams have figured him out and he's finding it a lot more difficult. And I think there's something to that.
Oh, that there could be, and that's a pretty constant theme in young players, you know, lives. That the first year is always amazing. It's like, you know, second album syndrome, Newman, for all our music fans. I'd like to see him injury-free. He's pretty much played with injury his entire career, even in the lower grades. I just don't put too much importance on this press at the moment for what it is. If he comes out and says something, if he comes out and says, man, I've got to pay for my own tickets and all this sort of rubbish, well, then we can talk about it. But if it's coming from his dad, why is his dad talking about it? I don't know that his son is really... Would he be that impressed that his dad's talking about him in the press?
Don't know. But I can say that just on that, it's 100% true that the Sharks don't pay for his flights and accommodation because he's not part of the travelling squad. So because he's injured, he doesn't get a ticket or a hotel room, and if he wants to go, he's got to pay for it himself. If you think that is not a good decision or you think that's disrespectful, then you have to have it out. One, because... there's no benefit in Jack travelling with the squad if he's not going to play. And two, if he's not listed as a player or a member of the coaching staff, those costs of those flights comes out of the salary cap. Well, if you're running the club, would you take players on interstate trips?
No, not if he's not going to play.
Because you've got someone very close to the player slagging the club in the press because they didn't do that, when it's just part of corporate procedure.
Yeah, but his dad's been in the press before. That worries me.
He has waded into public social media debate before, where people have razzed Jack Byrne on social media, and he's given him a serve. So,
how many other parents do that, Newman?
Not many.
Okay.
Chad Townsend's mum did it.
What?
She went on to Cronulla Sharks to win the premiership before I die when Chad was having a couple of bad games and did the whole, you know, he's achieved more than you in your life, and when you play first, you can have an opinion.
And then he won the comp.
That's right.
She's on the money. I don't know if Jack Byrne's dad's on the money.
What she did say, though, was people that haven't played first grade can't really have an opinion. So what does that make you and me, Samuel?
Wasting our time. Can I tell you how much I love Chad Townsend? Like, I love Chad Townsend.
Well, I don't love Jack Byrne. I'm just putting it out there. Okay. I think the swap Dugan for Byrne.
Why are you bringing that up now? Don't bring that up. I'm having a bad enough week as it is.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about I've had a bad week. I don't want to talk about Josh Dugan.
Dugan for Byrne is a massive upgrade, and we should be singing hallelujah from the rooftops.
I don't know the words.
Yeah, right. Okay. Other big news this week, 300 games for Captain Paul Gallen.
Yes.
And what that I did not know, it probably speaks volumes to the fact that Gal's missed quite a bit of football, is that he's, in terms of how many years he's been in the game, he's the game's longest serving player.
Current player or all time?
Current player.
Gotcha.
Current player.
Gotcha.
So when he debuted before any other player in the NRL.
Yeah, that makes sense. Look, it's an amazing achievement. He's been through it all. He's been through every up and every down now in his career. He's copped a lot. Some of it's warranted, some of it's not warranted. He's played consistently good football for a long time now. I would say his first 3 to 4 years, he was very inconsistent. But then something clicked, probably 2009, around Origin time, maybe 2010. And from then on, he's been dancing really well. And it's an amazing achievement. Not many people have done it. And the hashtag this weekend is Gal300. I'm going to suggest to all our listeners, and I'm going to lead it with our social media, hashtag thank you, Gal.
I think that's a nice gesture, Samuel, and I think hopefully the boys can live for it. I mean, he's that kind of leader where they live for that. They should be. They've got all the motivation in the world.
Yep.
It's a bit of a bitter irony that his 300th has to happen in the one place where he probably is going to get the most hostile reception of any player in rugby league. So that's a bit of a drag for him, but hopefully he can play well and right the ship, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. And he will revel in that environment, and I think the team will as well. I think it's a very big bonus given the week they've had and the week they're going into. And what I think it'll make him lift, and I think they're going to be up for it. I think it's going to be a really tight game. But I was really impressed with his press conference at the Sharks. He did the official press conference. He spoke well, and look, there's still a lot of haters out there, and that's fine. He's done things that some people have been rubbed the wrong way, but I think he's going to go down as, you know, the best ever Shark, and that's obviously a debate for maybe another time, but it's a big achievement, and we're going to celebrate that.
And now it's come to the time of the show where we go to the front of Sharkcast Pod headquarters and see what little Sharky who rips around the neighbourhood on a high-vis motorbike has dropped into the slot at 1 Eddinghausen Lane, Woolloware. You can get a sharkcastpod@gmail.com. or on the Facebook, Twitter, and Instagrams at SharkCastPod. We got one from Paul from Kirrawee saying, on that point, ET also missed his 300th game at Shark Park, with his 299th being a comfortable home win over Manly, but the 300th game was against Parramatta where they were rolled. So that's an interesting aside. And then they lost the next game 14-6 to a Bulldog side with Ricky Stewart at halfback. So he had to wait till his 302nd game win over Canberra. That was a pretty interesting email. Have you got anything else there, Samuel?
We had a lot of tweets over the weekend, Newman. Surprise, surprise. There's literally too many people to mention, but there was a tweet going around and the replies were in the hundreds. And I was heavily involved in that. And I'm not usually overly social in that instance, but I was very much revved up by that performance and how bad it was. And if you go to our Sharkcast Pod Twitter account, you will see a very healthy debate about the weekend just gone.
All right, we got an email from Troy from Maitland. Hey. He says, do you blokes know if there's any truth to the Jack Bird backflip story if Manoc Maloney is released?
No.
I don't think truth to it, and he's going to Brisbane.
Yeah, the whole backflip thing has been driven by parts of the media. And where there is smoke, there might be a little bit of fire, but I would think they're not going to renege on the Dugan deal. And as Troy points out, it would take someone pretty huge for them to leave and him to stay for that sort of money. So it's not going to happen. I don't know why they keep harping on it. It's not going to happen. I've got an email here from Matt, and he says, disappointing performance v. the Raiders. What's your thoughts on our hooker situation? At full strength, I'd prefer New Brown and Jaden Brayley in rotation. No Seguiaro for me. Ooh, interesting stuff, Matt. What do you think, Newman?
No, I don't like New Brown at all. I don't like Clydesdale. As much as Segui is frustrating, when you bring New Brayley back into the mix as like a 60 to 65 minute player, that opens up a whole host of opportunities for Segui. And I definitely keep him there. An interesting aside is Jaden Brayley, who should be on Sharkcast TV at 4:30 on Thursday, could very well be back for the Cowboys game.
Yeah, I'm hearing round 24, maybe round 25. What about that, Newman? I'm unable to film TV this week, and it takes someone like Jaden Brayley to fill my spot. I love it. Oh, I'm so jealous. You better tell him I love him, Newman. Jaden Brayley, number one hooker. Seguiaro to come off the bench in short, sharp bursts. I disagree with your comment about New Brown. I think he's decent, but he's still number three. And Clydesdale, respectfully, is easily number four.
So that wraps us up with letters for another week. Please keep them coming in. Please keep the Where the Shark Are Yous coming in to sharkcastpod@gmail.com or Facebook, Twitter, Instagram @sharkcastpod. Now, Samuel, big game this week. And Friday night game, surprise, surprise, against the Brisbane Broncos. They get a Friday night up there at Suncorp Stadium. I'm getting on the Big Bird tomorrow and heading up there.
What about that?
Another big game. It is a genuinely big game.
Well, I think we better alert the team that Newman's going to be in the house, and they better lift for Newman, let alone Gal. It's a huge game, and as I've stated before in this podcast, I think they're going to be up for it. They have to be up for it. The big games bring out their big performances. Don't know why, it just happens that way. And they've got a pretty strong lineup. Maloney, I'm imagining, is close to 100%. The hand's got a little guard on it. The finger's got a guard on it. But they wouldn't play him if he wasn't ready, you'd think. So, no excuses.
I don't think so, Samuel. I don't think he's near 100%. I think he's at the level where they can get him on the field. Defence was never his strong point anyway. So they're just going to have to try and hide him more than normal.
But what about catch, pass, kick? Can you do all that?
You can do all that, yep.
But yeah, it's going to be a great atmosphere. It's going to be pretty hostile. And I expect you and the C, SSC, and all of our fans up there to give it back.
We've got a good record up there.
Yeah,
last
three times maybe we've won there. We haven't played there since 2014, but I think 2012, 13, 14, we won all those games.
2014 was a great game, if you remember, when we came back from like 18-0 down or whatever.
Oh, I remember.
Or 22-0 down. It was, yeah, it's the biggest comeback of all time. Unreal. I'm looking forward to it. They tell me it's an enormously good rugby league stadium.
Oh, hold the phone. Hold the phone. You haven't been there?
No.
Oh, you'll love it. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful place to watch footy. You'll have a ball. So you guys are meeting at the Normandy Hotel, is that right?
Norman B,
right?
Me, myself, and Leap and Luke Cavell.
So
we're going to meet there for a few frothy ones and a steak, and then we're going to go over to the ground.
I don't want to interrupt your mandate, but what about if we invite some people along if they're in the neighbourhood?
Well, we're going to the Norman B because that's where the CSSC are meeting, so we will be there, and all are welcome.
Did you hear that, Sharkcast Pod listeners in Brisbane and those travelling to Brisbane? All are welcome to have dinner with Newman and Luke Cavell. Get on board.
All right, so predictions, man, it is hard.
Prediction is Brisbane's not going to score 54 points this week. It's going to be a fairly low-scoring game. I think something like 18-16, 20-18, something like that. I'm hoping that our boys will be on top and win by a few points is what I think will happen.
I'm very worried about a player like James Roberts.
Yep.
He's the kind of player that we don't have, and therefore we have trouble defending against. Just that sheer speed, and because of his speed, he's therefore powerful. He worries me enormously in a close game, where I think, you know, we could go with him 10-all, 12-all, but, you know, he leaps on a loose ball and away he goes.
Sounds like you're describing a game against the Titans a few years ago at home.
When Wade Graham passed in the ball and landed on his chest. I'm actually going to predict the Sharks' loss.
Ooh.
But as I said before, I think it's more about the way we play rather than the result. But the result is damn important.
Yeah, it is. And I really want the forwards to play like we know they can play. And whoever's going to be on that bench, I want them to lift and to have impact. We talked about Hyington last week, and it was one bad game amongst a bunch of really great ones. We're not knocking Hino, we love him. But he needs to come out after a bad one and really step up. Because to be honest, watching the game, I was putting a line through him. And we've used that term a few times, but I'm not standing by that comment. I just think he needs to have a big game, and as do the whole bench. The whole bench has to come out and lift.
You described him as having really great games. When was the last time he had a really great
game? He's had some this year. I can't pinpoint him, but off the bench, it might have been against the Roosters where they're all bouncing around, but he has had some impact off the bench this year. But last week, he had zero impact.
All right, Samuel, that wraps us up for another episode of Sharkcast Radio. We really need the boys to lift and come home, because if Project Back-to-Back is going to happen, we need more consistency and better performances. So we are riding the boys home and staying, as we say, every single week.
Hey, just because we're a bit critical doesn't mean we don't love you. Come on, Sharks, lift. Big game. Gal, congratulations. Up the mighty Sharkies premiers.